This is Prop Points on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Everybody, welcome to Prop Points. Jeff Erickson here with Nick Whalen. We are going to be talking a lot today about multiple sports, a lot of hoops, a lot of soccer, a lot of baseball. We're going to be spanning the globe. Got a lot of news for you to hit. We are excited about this one. In about 15 minutes, Eric Halterman is going to join the show, sharing his betting preview for today's full slate of games. I love these Tuesdays, 15 games all across the board. Should be fun. Jack Collins is going to join us on Progressive Guest Line. Going to give us a World Cup betting preview. We're going to have copious updates, by the way. Norway and Ivory Coast getting started right now. Over at the DraftKings Sportsbook, Ivory Coast is plus 135 to win. Norway minus 175. So significant favorite. Obviously, yesterday didn't matter being a favorite there. Two big upsets. One massive upset with Paraguay beating Germany in penalties. And this game was kind of won by Paraguay. I thought by the way they defended in the second half on that one against Germany. But we'll have more with Jack Collins in a little bit. And then we're going to have Nick and I's best bets for the baseball slate. A lot to talk about there. We're going to be talking about LeBron James. We got Ja Morant trade to deal with here. So a lot to discuss. Let's talk about this yesterday's soccer results first while we wait to bring in Nick. Yesterday was a massive day. Two games decided by kicks from the mark. The nightcap being the Morocco win over the Netherlands. Big comeback win for the Morocco. They scored in the 91st minute of the game, but they were the better side almost all the way through. They were the younger side. They were the more aggressive side. They had the ball in the Netherlands end. Netherlands scored on one counter. It was a beautiful goal. Don't get me wrong, but it was interesting to see Netherlands. That's usually a favorite, a pressing team that was on their heels for a good part of that game, including the overtimes. So I think it was fitting that Morocco advanced on penalties there. We have Nick Whalen here now with us right now. Nick, we'll be talking plenty of World Cup. I know you probably watched a decent amount of it. It was fun yesterday. But we got some LeBron James news to get to first before we talk a little World Cup.
We sure do. And we should clarify right away, we do not know where exactly LeBron will be playing next season. But what we do know is that he will remain in the NBA. It never really felt like there was much of a chance that he was going to retire after how well he played specifically down the stretch this season. But the news, which came through about a half hour ago, is that LeBron James has informed the LA Lakers he will play elsewhere this coming season. So of course, Jeff, my first instinct was to head over to the sports book and look at the next team odds for LeBron James. And we have some pretty obvious candidates at the top, right? I think it's a three team race realistically for LeBron James, unless he makes it clear that, look, I'm willing to play on the mid-level exception. Maybe I'd be willing to play on a veteran's minimum, just become a true mercenary and go to the best place to potentially win a title. LeBron has never really been willing to do that. He hasn't been willing to take any sort of pay cut for the vast majority of his career. So I don't see LeBron going full mercenary mode, but obviously we have the Golden State Warriors, who are already rumored to be chasing LeBron James earlier this week, installed as the favorite for LeBron to play his next NBA minute. So Golden State minus 275 at DraftKings. The Cleveland Cavaliers, we could have a second return for LeBron to Cleveland. That is plus 150. The Miami Heat could be a return to Miami for LeBron at 10-1. And then you get into some really interesting long shots, and long shots for a reason. You know, San Antonio, for instance, at 20-1, the New York Knicks at 30-1, Detroit 30-1, Dallas 30-1, Milwaukee for some reason is 40-1. I'm going to put it out right now, Jeff. I'm going to make a bold prediction and say LeBron James will not be playing for the Milwaukee Bucks next year, but this is setting up for just a fascinating, fascinating week plus, because knowing LeBron, he's going to drag this out as long as he possibly can. He's going to, you know, go through the full decision-making process. I think Golden State is the favorite for a reason. It just feels a little wrong, right? Given where the rivalry with Steph Curry and where the rivalry with that franchise stood not all that long ago, but at the same time, it's been 8 years since he left the Cleveland Cavaliers. His relationship with Stephen Curry has certainly changed in that span. He's seemingly become best friends with Draymond Green over that time. So LeBron to the Warriors, you know, this feels like another big step to that potentially happening.
This is like wrestlers breaking kayfabe. You know, it's like one of those, you pierce the veil and you realize that they're buddies. And, you know, in fairness, we have the All-Star Games. We have the Olympics, more importantly, you know, and that's a big deal. I mean, they were obviously, they bonded quite, you know, that last Olympic run was incredible. And, you know, both Curry and LeBron played big roles in that. So, of course, it makes sense that they're now tight a little bit there. So that I get that a little bit, that why that would might make sense. I for one, am wondering why he's not on high on the Pacers. The Pacers aren't high on that list with a known premium free agent destination there for all NBA stars. That's always been that way. No, I'm shocked there. But anyways, we had a trade in the NBA. We saw Ja Morant go to the Portland Trailblazers, and the best joke I saw going around about that is Portland needed more shooters. That's not really what they were going for, but anyways, ooh, big trade finally goes to Portland. I know, wow, all right, but we finally figured out his destination.
We finally did, and I think Memphis has been trying to figure that out for pretty much a calendar year at this point. You know, everything you read about this implied that there was very little interest around the NBA in Ja Morant. We'll talk about the details of the trade in a moment, but you know, there was even one report over the last few days that it was getting to the point where Memphis would just consider, you know, stretching and waiving Ja Morant, which is the last thing you want to be doing in the current NBA salary structure. It's what the Milwaukee Bucks did with Damian Lillard, and it's why they're now paying Dame like $80 million until 2030, which counts against their cap. So very little interest for obvious reasons. I see this as essentially a two-way salary dump. Obviously, Memphis is getting out of the Ja Morant business. They're getting out from under that massive contract. But the Blazers are dumping Jeremy Grant and his deal, which has quite a bit of money remaining on it. It's not quite Ja Morant level, but it is one of the worst role player contracts in the NBA. Chris Murray is basically just a throw-in this deal. But it sets up a really interesting situation for Portland. You know, I think it's pretty obvious what Memphis is doing. They can absorb the Jeremy Grant contract. They're in a full rebuild. They're rebooting things around Cam Boozer. But with Portland now, you have Ja Morant, you have Damian Lillard coming back from injury. You still have Drew Holiday, who played really well last season. You have Scoot Henderson, who's shown some flashes. And then you have Shaedon Sharpe as five primary guards on this roster. I think another move almost has to be coming for Portland, but Mark yeah. Stein did report this morning that the Blazers are telling teams they are keeping Drew Holiday. So I don't know if that means you're bumping Holiday up to the three. You're basically rolling a three-guard lineup out there. It's hard to imagine trying to talk Ja Morant into coming off the bench. I don't know if you can really bring Dame Lillard off the bench at this point in his career. So from an asset grab perspective, I don't mind this for Portland. You know, maybe there's a chance you can get Ja Morant to fall in line. Maybe this is the wake-up call he needs. You know, if nothing else, even if he plays relatively well this season, maybe you could trade him for some value going into an expiring year on his contract this summer. But a lot of unknowns here with how the Blazers are currently constructed.
Yeah, absolutely. And this is a franchise, and you're kind of like, are they going to take the next step? How do they take the next step? You know, Ja Morant might be that way. We'll see. But it feels a little incongruous. And like you said, there's got to be another step here. And there probably will be. And we'll see. Again, we talked about the pressures of being a team trying to emerge out of the West and how difficult it really truly is there. Whereas in the East, you can get hot for that year. You can get the right combo. You look at the Pacers 2 years ago as a perfect example of what can happen when things go right. Whereas the West, it feels like a much higher mountain to climb. And so you have to do some crazier things to try to be something different. You know, they're not going to get their version of Wemby walking through that door. So they have to find a different way to try to win. And, you know, maybe this is it. So we'll see about that. A lot more NBA talk the rest of this week. We'll be sure to cover it there. Want to bet smarter? Then you need RotoWire. Our brand new smart money tool shows you exactly where the sharp action is moving, so you're always on the right side of the line. And that's just the start. RotoWire's award-winning staff delivers rankings, projections, real-time injury updates, and data-driven insights across every sport, every day. Whether you're handicapping games, crushing your fantasy league, or both, RotoWire has you covered. Head to RotoWire.com right now and use promo code VEASAN at checkout for 15% off any RotoWire product. That's RotoWire.com. Promo code VSIN. We got a little bit more NBA news real quick here. James Harden expected to re-sign with the Cavs. No surprise there on that one there. Where else is he going to go? What else is Cleveland going to do?
Yeah, that's been the expectation all along. And, you know, we'll see if this LeBron situation impacts that in any way. But, you know, I think the general idea is that when they made the Harden trade, knowing that he had another contract coming, there was a handshake agreement. So I'm still kind of working on all the potential machinations of, okay, if LeBron goes here, what would that mean? It could still be some sort of sign and trade. You know, Cleveland would likely have to send out some sort of meaningful piece. I don't think it would be Harden. It would more likely be someone like Jared Allen, who the Lakers have shown a ton of interest in in the past. So, you know, a lot of this is hypothetical if LeBron were to express interest in going back to Cleveland. But general expectation is that James Harden will be back there. You know, this Warriors scenario, Jeff, which I'm coming around on this. I think I kind of want it to happen. It's a lot more appealing to me if they could find a way to get Anthony Davis. And look, I know it's Anthony Davis. I know you expect him to play 45 games every year, but I think the upside of that team is significantly higher than if they were to stand pat with Jimmy Butler, who will be 37 coming off of a serious knee injury. But Golden State has made some other moves around the margins. As we talked about yesterday, you know, Draymond Green opted out, which is essentially him, you know, being willing to facilitate some of these secondary moves. But then last night, Kristaps Porzingis ends up agreeing to a 2-year, $40 million deal to return to the Golden State Warriors. This makes things a little bit more difficult for Golden State in a LeBron recruitment. Yep. It makes things a little bit more difficult from a training for Anthony Davis perspective, just filling out the rest of the roster. I'm a little surprised Golden State was willing to commit to Porzingis. You know, 2 for 40 is kind of jump change in today's NBA, but this is two straight years now of Porzingis just not being able to stay on the court. There's still kind of a cloud of mystery around what exactly is going on with that illness. It's going to be a bargain contract if the medical team can get Porzingis to where he needs to be. But that was a bit of a surprising transaction to me, you know, right before free agency opened.
Yeah, if LeBron is indeed interested in Golden State, this will really test how interested he is in Golden State, that's for sure. Jalen Duren also in the news. Maybe we'll talk more about him tomorrow as well, because we're going to talk baseball next. Eric Halterman joins us on the Progressive Guest Line. His plays for the Tuesday night slate coming up next.
So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match. Here's the thing. Pro bettors spend thousands on data and tools, but what they don't want you to know is that you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you'll get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and more. Just tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
You're watching Prop Points on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Welcome back to Prop Points. Jeff Erickson, Nick Whalen from RotoWire.com. Joining us now on the Progressive Guest Line, our good friend Eric Halterman, features editor and MLB analyst over at RotoWire. You can follow him on Twitter at Eric with the K underscore Halterman. Eric, welcome to the show. Let's talk a little bit about tonight's slate. Starting off with a premium starting pitching matchup, Tarik Skubal versus Cam Schittler. I think you and I are sharing a brain on this one here on our props. What do you got for us in this game?
Yeah, this is a great game. The reigning AL Cy Young against the guy who might be taking his job. The lean I have for this one is I'd be looking at Tarik Skubal to go over 7.5 strikeouts in this one. Skubal's had, I think we could say, mixed results in his return from elbow surgery. He has a 4.96 ERA in 3 starts, but 21 strikeouts to go with just 2 walks. He was limited to 4 2/3 innings in his first start back, but his last 2 starts, he reached 8 and 9 strikeouts, so he shouldn't have much trouble hitting over 7.5, especially against a Yankees team that is 10th worst in strikeouts against lefties. Skubal looks like himself in most ways since the surgery. The strikeouts and walks, as I already mentioned, also stuff plus, location plus, they're actually both up from before the surgery. The main reason I don't feel confident just picking the Tigers is they'll be facing Cam Schittler, so this could be very much a pitcher's duel where Skubal hits a strikeout prop and still lose. And the other thing I'm worried about here is Skubal has had some home run issues his last couple starts. Not sure if that's him not quite having 100% feel for all his pitches like he had before surgery. So I'm a little bit nervous of the runs that he might allow, but I'm pretty sure he's going to miss a ton of bats. So feeling pretty good about over 7.5 strikeouts for Tarik Skubal tonight.
Eric, let's dive in on game 2 of this Mets Blue Jays series out in Toronto. Low scoring game last night, ended up being a 2-1 win for the Toronto Blue Jays. Nolan McLean, Kevin Gausman on the Hill tonight. And I think you're a brave man, Eric, looking at a certain money line play.
Yeah, I am looking at the Mets here. These teams are in some similar situations right now. Both teams you would have expected to have a pretty good lineup, but actually on the season, the Blue Jays are 21st by Team WRC+. The Mets are 28th. If you zoom in on just the last 30 days, the Mets do jump up to 18th. The Jays stay in 21st. So both guys, both teams, the bottom half offense is still lately, but very similar in their rankings. So let's look at the pitching matchup to see if the Mets might have an advantage. And I think they do. I think I'd take Nolan McClain right now over Kevin Gausman. Both guys actually have ERAs just north of four, but with stronger ERA estimators. McClain did give up six runs his last time out, but had nine strikeouts to go with two walks. Two strikeouts ago, it was nine strikeouts and one walk. And over his last five starts, even with that six-run outing his last time out, McClain has a 3.21 ERA. So he's generally been pitching pretty well lately. Kevin Gausman, on the other hand, while he has ERA estimators that are much better than his 4.36 ERA, he has struggled recently. He's allowed 13 runs over his last two outings with just seven strikeouts and six walks over that stretch. Gausman really only has one good start in his last five with a 7.62 ERA over that stretch. So that's what's pushing me towards the Mets in this one. It's two disappointing teams and two pitchers who are honestly a little bit disappointing as well. But McClain's been better than Gausman recently, so that pushes me towards the Mets.
Eric, the Red Sox have won five in a row. They've had 12 consecutive quality starts. Does Connelly Early continue that train tonight?
Yeah, I really am intrigued by this pitching matchup in Nationals at Red Sox, Cade Cavalli versus Connelly Early. And since I like both pitchers, I also definitely like the under 9.5 runs. I know this is a hitter's park. And I know the Nationals do have a good offense on the whole this season. They sit seventh overall in WRC+, but over the last 30 days, they drop all the way to 20th, while the Red Sox sit in 24th over that stretch. So two offenses that have struggled recently, two pitchers who I think are pretty interesting. Cade Cavalli, a 4 ERA on the year, but a Sierra down at 3.79. He's coming off a very strong start against the Phillies, where he struck out seven, walked just one, gave up two runs in six innings of work. On the whole, slightly better than average in all three of strikeout rate, walk rate, and ground ball rate. So I like that from Cavalli. If not for a 3.50 BABIP, I think his ERA would be a lot better. And Early on the other side, a 3.59 ERA for his part. Slightly better than average strikeout and walk rate as well, with about a league average ground ball rate. He's only given up three earned runs in 12 innings over his last two starts, with 16 strikeouts and three walks over that stretch. So two young pitchers who I like going up against two offenses who are struggling. I think we're going to see a fairly low score in Nationals at Red Sox.
We'll have more from our guy, Eric Alterman, in just a moment. But folks, $30 million is on the line this season in guaranteed prizes. Cash in this football season in Las Vegas with three Circus Sports contests. Entries start at $1,000, all with zero rake. That means every dollar stays in the prize pool. You got Circa Million, 18 weeks, 128 different ways you can win. Circa Survivor, pick one winner each week. Last one standing takes the contest. And Circa Grandissimo back this season is for the high rollers, a $100,000 entry. Enter in Nevada, play from anywhere, $30 million guaranteed. Check out circusports.com for the full details on all three of those great contests. Eric Alterman, MLB expert for us at RotoWire, stopping by the Progressive guest line, giving us some plays for the Tuesday night slate. Let's head out to Milwaukee, Eric, where we get game two between the Reds and the Brewers. Milwaukee able to rally last night. The Reds bullpen struck again. Joey Ortiz with the second homer of the season to propel the Brewers to a 5-3 win. We get Rhett Lauder versus Brendan Sproat on the Hill tonight. And my question to you, Eric, are you buying in on what we saw from Sproat last time out, coming off of pretty easily his best outing as an MLB pitcher?
Yeah, I'm buying in enough to take the over 5.5 strikeouts. I think that's a pretty achievable line for a guy who hasn't been quite as bad as the ERA suggests, I think. And he's facing a team against which he just struck out 10 batters while walking none, gave up just one hit, no runs in six innings of work. The Reds are the lineup you want to face right now, particularly if you're looking at strikeout props. The Reds actually have the second worst strikeout rate in MLB this year, the worst strikeout rate over the last 30 days, also the worst strikeout rate against righties. So it all bodes pretty well for Sproat to miss plenty of bats, and he has actually missed bats pretty well this season, even though his overall numbers are pretty poor. It's a 5.43 ERA, but a 4.10 CRA is respectable. He's got a 25% strikeout rate. It's just the 11% walk rate holding him back, and it might hold him back today. That's why I'm not quite confident enough to just take the Brewers money line or anything like that, but I do think that Sproat should miss a good amount of bats. I think 5.5 strikeouts is a very achievable line for a guy who has nearly doubled that his last time out against these exact same hitters.
Reds are 4-18 against the NL Central this year. It's been a joy talking about them on the show all the time, especially when they play the Brewers. Really a lot of fun there. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it. Angels Mariners, Jose Soriano versus Brian Wu. You get a Brian Wu home start. What do we like in this one here?
Yeah, I'm looking at the over, which is just set at 7.5 in this one. I know it's a tough park in Seattle. These lineups are decent enough. Mariners 13th in WRC+, Angels 17th, so two middle-of-the-pack offenses. Two pitchers who have not been as good as their name value might suggest lately. Jose Soriano, he had that incredible start to the season, gave up just one earned run in his first six starts. In his last 11 starts, though, Soriano has a 5.34 ERA. His strikeout rate has fallen from 31% to 23%. His walk rate has jumped from 9% to 13%. The Jose Soriano we've seen recently has been probably even worse than the Soriano we saw for the last several years. So I think the Mariners should be able to do their part here, and I think the Angels can too. Brian Wu has been pretty ordinary this season with a 4.26 ERA, and he's been particularly poor recently. Five or more earned runs in three of his last four starts, a 6.85 ERA over that stretch. I don't think it'll be too hard for these two offenses to combine for eight runs today.
Eric, we got about a minute left. Let's get one more play on the card. Tell us what you got for Dodgers A's tonight.
Yeah, there is a rookie hitter for the A's, Joshua Kuroda Grauer. I like him to get two or more hits today. You can get some pretty long odds on this one. Very much not an established player. The number 261 prospect here at RotoWire made his MLB debut yesterday, got three hits. He gets hits. I'm not sure he's going to do much else, but he gets hits. He hit 323 with an 8% strikeout rate in the minors this season. He hit 296 with a 9% strikeout rate last year. He hit 324 with a 7% strikeout rate in 2024 after being picked in the third round out of Rutgers. He makes a ton of contact. He's going to get a lot of singles for as long as he's up with the A's. He's not that different, I think, at the plate from his teammate Jacob Wilson, who had a 7% strikeout rate for his minor league career. Kuroda Grauer today gets the platoon advantage against Justin Robleski, who allows a ton of contact, just a 15% strikeout rate on the season. It all adds up to a great chance for him to get a couple singles.
Eric Halterman, everybody, find all of his work for us at rotowire.com. Check him out on Twitter, on X, at Eric_Halterman. We're moving things over to the World Cup when we come back. We'll give you an update on the in-progress game. We're going to have Jack Collins from SiriusXM FC stopping by the Progressive Guest Line. You're watching Prop Points.
You're watching Prop Points on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back to Prop Points. It's been a fantastic World Cup. It was a banger of a day yesterday. Hopefully today matches up to that. Joining us right now to help us break it all down is Jack Collins. He is the host over at SiriusXM FC, at Jack J. Collins on Twitter. Jack, welcome to the show. Thanks for joining us today. We got Ivory Coast and Norway going on right now. What have you seen so far in this game? What do you like in this particular game?
Thank you for having me, boys. First and foremost, it's a pleasure to jump on. And yeah, I mean, look, I thought this game was going to be a cracker, right? There's certain elements of this round of 32 that I think really do are lively. And we saw a couple of them yesterday. That Brazil-Japan game was excellent. I really enjoyed Morocco against the Netherlands as well. And this was the one that caught my eye today and was like, you know what? That should be a really good battle. Two teams in really good form coming into this. And I think it's going to be a lively one. I think it's going to be, you know, a game where chances come thick and fast. Both of these teams are going to come out and attack. So it's been a pretty bright start, despite a lack of real clear-cut opportunities. But I think we're kind of looking at it and thinking this has the potential to potentially go all the way to penalties again. And the fact that we've already had two of the three go the distance is really quite something. So I'm expecting this one to be a battle right to the end as well.
So we'll get your plays for the rest of the games today and take a look at tomorrow's slate in just a moment. But we do have to look back, Jack, at what we saw and what was a banger of a Monday in the World Cup. I want to ask you about Germany. You know, obviously going down in penalties, it could have gone either way. Some bad misses, I thought, by both teams near the end of those penalty kicks. But this is now three straight major disappointments for Germany at the World Cup. In your mind, what explains that?
Look, they are not the same team, not the same force that they were a couple of years ago. I think this team really lacks leaders in there. But ultimately, you know, this is going to go down on manager Julian Nagelsmann's head. And I would be very, very surprised if he is still in charge of Germany by the time that we get to August, September, considering that Jurgen Klopp, former Liverpool manager, is waiting in the wings and is very, very publicly waiting in the wings as well. You know, on the sidelines at all of these games, having a kind of look, waving, giving his thoughts on the TV broadcast back in Germany. You're kind of starting to see him and waving his head above the parapet a little bit. So I think that's what we'll see next. In terms of where they've been, I think it is a transitional period. This is an era where a new generation is starting to come through for Germany. We're seeing a couple of wonder kids kind of work their way into the public consciousness, Musiala and Wirtz in particular, but also Lennart Kohl, who was sadly ruled out of this tournament at 18 years old at Bayern and has had a phenomenal breakthrough season. I think that his absence has been a big factor in this. But Nagelsmann has felt a bit confused, I think, in terms of where he's been. He had previous with Bayern Munich, where he fell out with Manuel Neuer, fell out with Joshua Kimmich, fell out with Leon Goretzka. And we got back to the World Cup and didn't look like Neuer was going to be involved. Kimmich and Nagelsmann had kissed and made up. But by the time you were seeing the end of that game, Neuer's back in goal for the World Cup. He's given an international unretirement, shall we say. I just feel like the dressing room maybe lost a little bit of confidence in him. He's a manager who is very tactically astute, but not necessarily someone who always demands the respect of the players. And I think that yesterday it looked very, very confused. And then they come up against the Paraguay side who fundamentally just were having none of it in terms of conceding. They crossed far too much. They played to Paraguay's strengths. And whilst I think they can be rightly angry about the fact that there was a disallowed goal from Jonathan Tah in extra time, I would look at it and say that I don't think Germany really deserved much out of that considering the way that they played. And yeah, it's going to, I'd imagine this is going to spark a bit of a national reconsideration in the same way that a couple of early exits did in the early 2000s. That landed with them winning the World Cup in 2014. So let's see, 8 years down the line, let's have another think about where Germany are again.
Absolutely. Same could be said a little bit about the nightcap too, and the losing side on the Netherlands there, that Morocco was on the forward foot a lot of that game. Basically, since the first hydration break in the first half, that game shifted at that point in time. And I felt like Morocco had the aggression most of the game. The goal the Netherlands scored was a beautiful counter, but still, I thought for the most part, Morocco was the better side. Do you agree?
Yeah, 100%. And look, it's worth pointing out that Morocco were semi-finalists last time round in Qatar in 2022. This is a really, really good side. They got to the final of AFCON. Now, whether you believe they won that tournament or not depends on how you kind of determine rulings in courts as opposed to rulings on the pitch. But I'll leave that one there for the time being. The point being that Morocco are a really, really good side, right? And I think that they made history last time out, the first African nation, the first Arab nation to ever make the semi-finals of a World Cup. I think that this is probably a more rounded Morocco squad than they had last time out. So, you know, losing to them shouldn't necessarily be seen as a massive disappointment for any nation. But the Netherlands are also arguably the side or the biggest nation, or maybe the most kind of steeped in history footballing nation to have never won the World Cup. And I think a lot of people thought that this might be a chance for them to really go for it. A very strong defensive line. But they lacked any real control in the middle of the park, I thought. And Morocco were, for me, you know, as with you, the better side there. I thought you looked at that game and there was one team on the front foot, one team trying to drive it forward. And Ronald Koeman, who is the manager for the time being of the Netherlands, we'll see how that one shakes out as well. But he played in a 4-3-3 formation for most of the group stages and then shifted to a five at the back for the first game where they came up against serious opposition in a knockout game. And I wonder if there is just a little bit of maybe overthinking it a tad. I can understand the logic of what he was trying to do, But I think that when you came to that game, the Netherlands, who'd had a really good front-footed group stage, lost all of their kind of dynamism and lost all of their ability to step forward and make the game about them. And ultimately, yes, it came down to a penalty shootout. And it is worth, again, you know, reiterating that Morocco are a very strong side, and I expect them to be final eight, maybe further than that as well. But it does feel like the Netherlands just played this and allowed it to slip backwards away from them. And I think that that will be a disappointment in a country that prides itself on game control, total football, the philosophies of Johan Cruyff. To have allowed the game to get away from them in that manner, I think, is the thing that will really upset Dutch fans. And I'd imagine we're going to see more change there as well.
Talking with Jack Collins, soccer host for SiriusXM FC, joining us on the Progressive Guest Line. Let's get to the other two games on the slate today, Jag. France-Sweden. We expect to see scoring this afternoon. How do you think exactly that breaks down? How are you betting this game?
Yeah, I mean, look, I'd expect France to sort of go pedal to the floor here. What's interesting about this World Cup, and I think kind of more generally to pull it back to that game, is that we haven't seen yet whether the defining factor is going to be these incredible forward lines and, you know, superior firepower, or whether it's actually going to be game control and being able to kind of make sure that the game plays at the tempo that you need. Now, France have lent very much into this incredible front line that they have. They have current Ballon d'Or holder in Ousmane Dembele. They have Kylian Mbappe, who's striving for this World Cup record already in terms of goals. And then they've got kind of their pick of Desiré Doué or Michael Olise, all wonderful players who will be in the Ballon d'Or conversation this year as well. So they're leaning into that and thinking, we're going to be able to outscore anyone that comes against us. Whereas you look at maybe a Spain, who are a lot of people's other favorites, if you haven't got France, they're very much more in terms of looking at the game as a state of control. How do we make sure that we don't lose the ball? How do we make sure that there are not scoring opportunities against us? And then we can suffocate teams by effectively penning them in their own box. France will play that differently. But I think that this Swedish back line is a little bit decimated already. I wasn't particularly confident in it going into the World Cup. We saw them ship five to the Netherlands in that second group game. And there might well be missing Isaac Hien, who walked off injured, who by my money is their best centre-back in this one. So I'd imagine it'll be a five at the back, but I think that France will score a number of goals today. And the way that I would look at this one, Kylian Mbappe didn't score in the last game. Now, that's okay, generally, I think, because Ousmane Dembele got his hat trick. There was a nice moment for them. But if you're actually looking at it, I think he'll come back into this one with a real, you know, kind of desire to score. So I'm going to say France to score 3+ and Mbappe to score anytime, which comes out about +140 in that kind of parlay. That's how I'd look at it. This could well be France pedal to the floor.
In contrast to the nightcap game, Mexico versus Ecuador, Ecuador in particular has had a hard time scoring in this tournament. They did score a couple against Germany, which got them through. But you expect this to be a different tempo of a game tonight.
Yeah, I mean, look, Mexico having a wonderful record at the Azteca. They haven't conceded a goal in this tournament so far. Raul Angel has been brilliant in the Mexican net, but I don't think this is a high score. I think this is a very attritional game. It's obviously played at altitude. Both of these teams will be used to that, considering where they play their home games. Well, this is a home game for Mexico, but where Ecuador play in Quito as well. I've got this at under 2.5 goals, which comes out at -250. I think this might be the safest bet of the lot. This almost certainly will not be a high scorer.
Jack, awesome stuff, man. Really appreciate your insights, not only on what was a crazy day on Monday, but giving us a few plays for the rest of the Tuesday slate. Enjoy it, man. Enjoy the knockout round. We'll talk again with you soon.
Thank you very much for having me, boys. Pleasure to speak, and hope you're enjoying these games as well. See you soon.
Thanks, Jack.
Jack Collins, everybody. Catch him hosting over on SiriusXM FC. Find him on Twitter at Jack J. Collins. We do have a goal on the board for Norway. Just took a 1-0 lead on Ivory Coast. That game down at Jerry World at AT&T Stadium. We're in the 40th minute. We'll tell you exactly what happened on the other side. Get some more baseball plays on the card. Jeff Erickson's full baseball slate when we come back. You're watching Prop Points here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
watching Prop Points on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Nick Whale and Jeff Erickson back with you. It's Prop Points here on the Sports Betting Network. It is 1-0 Norway. We are nearing the half in Arlington, Texas. Had a goal in the 39th minute. Antonio Nusa putting one in. So again, Norway up 1-0 nearing halftime. Give you an update on the current odds. Norway minus 425 to win the match. If you want to jump on the Ivory Coast, plus 310 is your number over at the DraftKings Sportsbook. France, Sweden, Mexico, Ecuador coming our way to round out the Tuesday slate later today. We'll get some more baseball plays for you in just a moment. But folks, this 4th of July, we're bringing back something we rarely do here at VSiN. It's a multi-year VSiN Pro subscription for 1 week only. You get 2 full years of VSiN Pro for just $2.99. That gets you access through July of 2028 at nearly 70% off the regular monthly price. You get our NFL season betting guide, daily best bets, real-time betting splits from DK and Circa, AI-powered prop projections, plus 24/7 video on the VSiN Watch app, and every betting guide, every season preview, every VSiN Pro feature we release over the next 2 years. But don't wait. The special 4th of July offer disappears after July 7th. So head over to VSiN.com/subscribe. Do it right now. You can lock in 2 years of VSiN Pro for just $2.99, taking you all the way through summer of 2028. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. So Jeff, we had Eric Halterman on the program a little bit earlier, giving us some plays for a handful of these MLB games, but let's see what's on your card. And we will start with Pirates Phillies out in Philadelphia. It's Bubba Chandler taking on Cy Young hopeful Christopher Sanchez. Phillies are appropriately a massive favorite on the money line. Minus 227 is our price at DraftKings. Total up at 8.5.
Yeah, and we saw the Phillies fall apart again yesterday. Had a 5-0 lead, but Aaron Nola did Aaron Nola things. So fortunately, all of our props came through on that one there. We were thankful for that. Different story today. Got Sanchez on the mound for the Phillies. Bubba Chandler also on the mound for the Pirates. A downgrade from Braxton Ashcraft. He's been marginally better on the road at 4.20 ERA, 1.36 whip. Bryce Harper did it again yesterday, hit just a missile as a home run yesterday. I'm going to stay on that Bryce Harper train. He does have a homer and is only at bat against Chandler in his career. I'm going to go over the 2.5 hits plus runs plus RBI for Harper. It's plus 118 over at DraftKings.
Marginally fun series, I would say, Jeff, between the Rangers and the Guardians in the slog that is the American League right now. But Rangers have been hot of late. They're sending Jacob DeGrom to the hill tonight. Game's in Cleveland. He'll take on Tanner Bibee. We got Texas as a minus 120 favorite on the money line. Total coming in at 8. So how are you attacking this one?
So a couple of things I wanted to look at here on this one. Home runs by both pitchers are not, I wouldn't say copious. They're not like Zach Littell-esque, but DeGrom's actually allowed 15 homers this year, and 10 of those have been on the road getting out of Globe Life Park. Although recently not as many. Tanner Bibee has allowed 16 homers in his own right, and 10 of those at home. The conditions are great for power too. 96 degrees today in Cleveland. It's just hot. You can attest to like the Midwest heat wave going on right now. Well, the ball flies better when it's hot out there. So hot day. I think the ball's going to fly out at a Progressive Field. Total home runs over 2.5 plus 100 over at DraftKings.
Tigers Yankees continuing their series out in the Bronx. We got Tarik Skubal against Cam Schlittler. Best pitching matchup on the slate, Jeff. So how are you playing Tarik Skubal tonight?
Well, Tarik Skubal did give up those 3 homers against the Yankees last time. There's some things that are not completely there, but the strikeouts have been there the last 2 times out. 17 combined strikeouts in his last 2 starts. That's over 11 2/3 innings. I think it's noteworthy. We got to talk about batter versus pitcher here a little bit. Last time out, Paul Goldschmidt did hit our home run prop for us last time. In fact, he hit it twice. He now has 4 homers against Skubal in his career, has a career OPS. It's comical. It's 13 at-bats, but 4 homers and 13 at-bats, career OPS over 2,000. The best price I've found for a home run prop, if you do want to play it, is plus 493 at DK. But I'm going to be a little bit more careful here. I'm going to take the Tarik Skubal strikeout prop. Eric Halterman mentioned taking the 7.5 strikeouts as a way of going about doing it. You do get a plus price there. If you want the safe route, you can go minus 155 for 6.5 strikeouts. That is over at BetMGM.
Mets Blue Jays in Toronto, another game we discussed with Eric. He gave us Mets money line, Jeff. Nolan McLean taking on Kevin Gausman. Will you be joining him on that play?
I wanted to, but I wanted to be different too. So I will tail him on that winner. I agree with Eric. I think it is a good play, but you do get the Mets comical defense behind him. We saw the little league homer that George Springer was gifted by Juan Soto and company yesterday to begin the game. Sneakily, Gausman has been pretty shaky lately. Four more runs allowed in four of his last five outings, including the last two being six or more. Nolan McLean, though, on the road, I know he was tough in his last outing, but that was at home. On the road, 2.85 ERA, 0.93 whip on the road. I'm taking the Nolan McLean under 2.5 earned runs allowed. Get that at -125 over at Hard Rock.
We got to do it, Jeff. We got to talk Reds Brewers. Yeah. I know you're not excited about it. It is Rhett Lauder on the hill, Brandon Sproat on the other side. As we discussed, Sproat coming off of the best start of his career, 10 Ks last time out. Are we going on just a, I'm a Reds fan, I need to fade the Reds for my own sanity play?
Indeed, we are, Nicholas. We're definitely going that route there. Brandon Sproat looked like Pete Vukovic out there. That was a pitcher that pitched for the Brewers before you were born. But he was mowing down the Reds last time out. And he's otherwise just hanging by a thread in this rotation. The Reds' bullpen is a shambles right now. Tony Santian's on the IL. They might get Emilio Pagan at the back end of that bullpen. But you can count on the wrong thing to happen. Joey Ortiz went deep yesterday. He's Joey Ortiz, my God. So we're going to go Brewers run line because the money line is just too prohibitive. We'll go with the Brewers -1.5 on the run line, +125 over at Bet Rivers.
Rays Royals out in Kansas City. It's Griffin Jacks taking on the lefty Noah Cameron. 7:40 p.m. Eastern start. Rays -122 favorites on the road money line. Total all the way up at 10. I feel like you got to play something here on Junior Caminero.
Absolutely. Yeah, he's 7 homers in the last 6 games, 4 games in a row. Had a 3-homer game against Seth Lugo. Ironically, when he faced Noah Cameron last time, Cameron gave up 5 runs, but he didn't homer. Caminero didn't homer off him. What a slacker. Cameron's only allowed 8 homers this year. So instead of playing the home run prop, I think it's a little bit better to play the over 2.5 hits plus runs plus RBI +105 over at DraftKings. Just a note, Kauffman Stadium, now a hitter's ballpark. Remember, we talked about this. The most ballyhooed moving into the fences. Well, it's finally kicking in. The weather's heating up. It's going to be a hot day in Kansas City again. We always like looking for that now. It's going to play like Wrigley. 91 degrees. The wind's going to be blowing out 15 miles an hour. Find your hitter angles on this one, on this particular game.
We are officially at the half, by the way, between Ivory Coast and Norway. Still 1-0 Norway. Heavy favorites on the live money line. -450, your current price over at DraftKings. Jeff, we got Dodgers A's out in Sacramento. Justin Robleski, Jeffrey Springs battle the lefties tonight. Dodgers, as you'd expect, heavy favorites on the money line, -171. And the total, the highest of the day, I believe, up at 11.
Yeah, right up there with Marlins and Rockies, who are, that auto fade the Rockies, auto play your hitters against the Rockies in Coors Field. But yes, it the ball flies out in Sacramento. We saw it yesterday, got that over yesterday. The RotoWire smart money play of the day is Andy Páez. Over a 0.5 homers, hit a homer, +360 was the best price I found over at Circa. Smart money always detects action on the exchange markets there, finds when there's a lot of action out there. And we're going to go with Andy Páez on this one here, going against Jeffrey Springs at home, who is just awful at home. So +360 at Circa for Andy Páez to hit a homer.
It's time to leave you with our best bets of the night, Jeff. Curious if you have any leans in these two remaining World Cup games, but I know we have a baseball play we want to lock in.
Yeah, I agree with Jack about the Mexico-Ecuador game. The flow of that game should be the under feels pretty good about that one there. My best bet is baseball. It's going to be Brian Wu. Brian Wu at home again. This is the manna of life. Brian Wu at home has been amazing. 4 consecutive shutout outings at home. Minimum of 8 strikeouts in those outings. The Angels strike out over 24% of the time, both at home and road. That's top 5 in baseball right now. So Brian Wu over 7.5 strikeouts, +110 over at Circa.
All right, Jeff, I'm not making a play on who wins this Reds-Brewers game. I don't trust either starter. I think we could see some regression tonight from Brendan Sproat. I certainly don't trust Rhett Lauder, but I think we get runs. I'm taking the over 9 in Reds-Brewers. Like you said, we're up to like 94 degrees here in Milwaukee. Roof will likely be closed, but still going to be hot in the city. Minus 107, your price on the over at DraftKings. That's going to wrap the Tuesday edition of Prop Points here on VSiN. We'll be back with you tomorrow talking some more NBA transactions, talking some more World Cup, money moves, Stormy, Jonathan Von Tobel coming your way next here on the Sports Betting Network.